So I was absolutely fascinated watching the Brewers game last night. I told my daughters, hey, the Brewers are playing. It was kind of a later than usual Sunday night game. Usually they're playing at, 1 o'clock or something like that. And they said, what is it all for? I was like, well, the Brewers are playing the Braves in an area where they play the Little League World Series. And both my daughters thought they were playing on the field where the Little League World Series will be played. No, they've got a real major league sized diamond out there and they're going to play a game, but all the kids and the parents are going to be in the stands. So it was like 2,500 fans, very intimate setting. And the connection of major league players to Little League players is so present throughout the entire time the Brewers and Braves are in Williamsport. That played out over the course of the past 3 days. Such a cool experience.
I was driving back home from Door County last night and my husband called and said, I'm watching this game right now and it's so cool to see. I mean, just to see all the kids in the stands. And I said, well, how many people are there? Because, it's not the same as going to a Brewers game. A little bit more intimate as well, and that makes it extra special.
Well, what was very clear is that Jacob Mizorowski is a superhero to these young
yes.
kids.
You know, as a little kid, like, I definitely dreamed, and I was that way too, about getting certain guys' autographs. But, no, it's crazy that I'm the guy they look up to like that.
Yeah, Miz maybe looks most like a kid on the team, and he was talking to kids about trading Pokemon cards as much as he was his 104-mile-an-hour fastball. Great experience. Dom Catronio, host of Brewers Extra Inning, spending time in Williamsport with the team and joining us here. Dom, this seems like one of those mutually beneficial sort of trips where maybe you look at it on the schedule and think, that's kind of a hassle. We got to play a home game away from our home stadium. But every one of the players who commented seemed to have really enjoyed their trip and spending time with the kids.
You know, the most amazing part of this trip, Greg, was exactly that. There was a little bit of apprehension of, all right, well, it's going to disrupt your schedule. What's the, everyone's complaining about the back-to-back day games and all that. But then the moment that you got on the tarmac and you saw the welcoming party that the Little League World Series and Major League Baseball put together, it just instantly was like, okay, no, they're thinking of us. They're grateful for us to be here. And the reception, every step you took, like, I know Miz got the rock star welcome, but I promise you, walking up that hill, every single kid knew every single player that was walking by them. It was amazing. It was just remarkable. And Yelly put it well. It's a great reminder that obviously they know you're playing you in MLB The Show, but at the same time, they still watch us. They still know who we are. Their reach goes far beyond that we even realize. So to see it firsthand, to have real world interaction in a digital world, it just creates a much more fulfilling and memorable experience for everybody involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it was actually on your social media pages that I saw the video with Yelly and just saying that this makes you realize that more people are watching than you even think. But I want to go back to Miz for a moment because something else that I thought was cool, it's just neat to see the interactions and the kids, kind of mobbing the Miz. But was this a moment, too, where he really realized, like, hey, I've made it?
For sure. It's exactly what he told us. And I think the way that Miz has always carried himself around us and around, even this happens in road cities, too. I mean, if you're not familiar with, the traveling circus that is Major League Baseball, there's autograph hounds at every step that these guys go, right? I mean, between leaving the team hotel to arriving at the ballpark to walking down the line, it's everywhere. It's absolutely insane. And I think that for Miz to see it to this level with kids, I think it just reached a whole new level. He said so as such, where he's always aw shucks and, Merce put it so well that he's Forrest Gump. But I think this was the first time it really sunk in that, like, okay, this really is bigger than me and it goes beyond anything that I can control or imagine.
So I want to play this interaction from last night's game. So Carl Ravitch was doing the game, longtime broadcaster for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And they brought in Brewers pitcher Logan Henderson, who was a part of the broadcast. He wasn't scheduled to pitch yesterday, so not uncommon to see a pitcher join the broadcast crew for a game like this. And they did a great job on ESPN of bringing in a Little League World Series player to have a conversation with a Major League player using the ESPN television broadcast as a vehicle. So here's the interaction.
Who was your favorite Major League player growing up?
What's up, Cooper? Derek Jeter was my favorite player growing up. I always thought that I was going to be a position player until the game told me I wasn't anymore, but Derek Jeter was certainly my guy. liner right there. Hey, Cooper, you're doing terrific, man. You keep up the great work. We can't wait to see what your team does. It's been fun to watch you.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. That's Cooper Tyson. Thank you, Logan, so much for being with us, man. We appreciate it.
Yep. Appreciate
it. That kid can pitch.
That kid can pitch. Yeah, he can.
I threw a no-hitter the other day.
Yes, he did.
Lead-off bomb. We watched the game.
Did you hear that at the end? Logan Henderson answers the question from the kid, but then says at the end, threw a no-hitter, he hit a leadoff bomb. He was watching the game. So there's Logan Henderson with this sort of authentic reaction, like, yeah, we're watching these kids too, Dom. I loved that interaction from last night's game.
You know, and Cooper Tyson, it's funny, actually, because he's the kid that essentially eliminated the Whitefish Bay All-Stars, right? Remember in the regional championship game for the Midwest, you know, I compared him to a 12-year-old Garrett Crochet. I mean, he was the one that has, like, he struck out at something like 80% of the batters he's faced so far in this tournament. So Logan was great, and I promise you, I'm in the clubhouse. The games are on, and the games are fascinating to see these kids and how advanced some of these kids' baseball acumens are and how much they enjoy the craft of the game. There were so many good questions hanging around the Little Leaguers yesterday, too. I got to be on the bus with a handful of players where there were two teams that were with six of the Brewers, and they were asking genuinely good baseball questions. I was just fascinated how fast they want to learn.
Okay, real quick, what was the best one you heard from the kiddos?
Well, honestly, one of the kids actually sat down with Miz, and I know there was a viral clip of Chris Sale hearing that, oh, I just throw it down the middle and pray. Like, no, that's not exactly what Miz told all the kids. But I think what Miz, you know, was explaining to this kid, because the coach, you know, jokingly, hey, you got to teach him how to throw more strikes. And Miz was just genuinely saying, hey, here's my breath routine. Here's what I do to slow down moments. Here's what I do when the moment gets large. And I think, like, yeah, not everybody can throw 105 miles an hour, but everybody can control their breathing. Everybody can understand the difficulty of competition at a high level. So when you hear it from the best in the world, keeping it simple, that's when it really seems to hit for these 12-year-olds.
That's awesome. That's a great lesson. Also wanted to ask, too, because not everybody got to see the game, but you have a lot of people who wish they were around to see it. This was a great setting to remember Hank Aaron and his legacy. How did they do that? It seemed like there were a number of ways.
Yeah, the biggest one was pregame. It was called the Keep Swinging Pledge. And, you know, as Henry Aaron's motto always was, I'm always going to keep swinging regardless of what's thrown my way, whether it is, you know, the racial tensions that he had to fight and the injustice that he had to do in the beginning of his career, even throughout, you know, his time with the Braves and even convincing people to come to the ballpark as he's chasing down Babe Ruth's record and the hate mail that he received and the everything that he went through. He just attacked it all with grace and with class. And I think of Henry a lot on days like today. I actually had a conversation about Henry Aaron with Christian Yelich last week about the fact that, like, you know, I know you guys didn't intersect a lot, obviously, here, but you was the connective tissue between those two guys. And I really thought of it a lot to remind, you know, 12-year-olds, you know, it's a shame to say. I mean, they weren't even, you know, young enough or old enough to remember when Hank was around and still speaking into microphones. So to keep his legacy and to keep, you know, to keep swinging motto going, which ironically is also my tagline at the end of all of my broadcasts. So it was really, really well done by everybody involved to keep Henry Aaron's legacy prevalent. Of course, Milwaukee Braves, Atlanta Braves, and Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah, part of the reason these teams were tabbed to play in Williamsport. Dom, great work, a really cool trip and great opportunity. And we'll listen to you again this week on Brewers Extra Innings.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dom.
Yeah, you bet. Really cool broadcast, great opportunity. Rick Schlesinger, when we had him on the program before the end of the week, said he was looking forward to it, making that trip out. You could very much tell, genuinely, that the players absolutely relished and enjoyed that opportunity.
What a cool opportunity. The other thing, too, Dom was mentioning, I just thought of this when he said, you know, a lot of people might not realize this, but when you go from city to city, there are autograph hounds. And that's funny because you think about in 2026, in this time, like, who really wants an autograph anymore? A lot of that has gone to the wayside. But I think it's different when it comes to MLB fans because of the ball. Like, you want the baseball signed, right? It feels like that's why that has still stuck around with the fans.
You want it signed in the sweet spot. There's a very specific spot you want that baseball signed. Then you get it authenticated. And if you're like me, you hang out of that thing for dear life. You never give it up because the memory of getting that ball signed always tells a great story. It always tells a great story. I know there's money to be made, but there's oftentimes great stories behind these.